Good morning, Spiritus Christi. It is so good to be here with you. There is so much on my heart this morning that I would like to share with you. This has been a very, very difficult week. What has been on my heart is deep sorrow. Sorrow about the events of the past week. Seeing systematic racism, white supremacy rearing its ugly heads, seeing dangerous, misguided leadership, unnecessary death and malicious acts of violence, disrespect and disregard for basic human rights. It was a total departure from whom we are all created to be. It was so painful. I'm also saddened by the great loss of life from COVID-19. And the stress and the demand placed on our first responders and caregivers. I've been praying for our children who are growing up in a world of chaos, disease, and uncertainty. I pray for you parents and you teachers whose responsibility it is to protect them and guide them. What a difficult job and yet so vitally important. Thank you for what you do. And then, at the same time, my heart is filled with gratitude and joy for the years that I have spent at the Grace of God Recovery House. There are really few words to describe what I feel in completing my time there, but I'm going to give it a try this morning. Years ago, there was a myth believed by many Catholics that when a child was born, the parents were not supposed to take the baby out of the house until the baby was baptized. The reason for this was that if anything should happen to that child, God forbid, and it would die, then that baby would have to go to a place called limbo, where they would never get to see God or go to heaven. It was a terrible, terrible theology. I was born in January of 1941, and it was a very hard winter with lots of snow that year. My parents wanted my Uncle Charlie to be my godfather when I was baptized, but the weather was too bad for him to drive from Jersey to Rochester that winter. So my parents decided to postpone my baptism until the end of May. Well, my mom, being a very good Catholic, was afraid to take me out before I was baptized, so I spent the first 5 months of my life in quarantine. It was like waiting for the baptism vaccine to arrive. Today, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Mark tells us that Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in the Jordan River. And something very, very extraordinary happened that day. When Jesus emerged from the water, the sky opened, and there was a voice from heaven that said, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is when Jesus received his identity from God. "You are my son whom I love." And ever since that day at the Jordan River, the words of God have echoed throughout the centuries, every time a baby or a child, a teenager or an adult is baptized. Whether you were baptized in church by having water poured on your forehead, or in a hospital at birth, or by the rite of submersion, or in your grandmother's kitchen sink, on that day, you too received your identity from God. You are my child whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Because of the Catholic tradition of infant baptism, most of us don't remember our baptism ceremony, and many of us do not even know the date. For years, I have returned to St. Helen Church for a visit on the anniversary of my baptism on May 31st. I look forward to that every year. I love hearing God's words echo in my heart. "Margie, you are my daughter whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Don't we all love to hear God say that to us? In a world where we tend to believe that our identity comes from sources like what we have or what we do or what other people say about us, we so need to remember that our identity comes from God. We are who God says we are, beloved children with whom God is well pleased. In the first reading today, the words of the prophet Isaiah also echo Jesus' identity. Isaiah says, "Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased." Isaiah's words also echo Jesus' mission in life, his call from God. "I, your God, have called you for the victory of justice, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness." We too have a mission. We too are called by God. The work that we do every day is our mission. Whether it's raising children, doing construction work, hospital cleaning and sanitation, teaching, driving an ambulance, an RTS bus, a school bus, Uber, nursing, cooking, playing professional sports, go Bills! Studying, babysitting, caring for our elders, playing music, running a business, whatever our work, that is our mission. That is our call from God. In 4 days, I will turn 80 years old, and I will have completed 58 years so far of my calling. It has been an exciting journey for the most part, so I thought I would share with you a quick review of those 58 years. I heard that. I began by teaching school in Avon at St. Agnes School for 12 years, and it was great. I got to know all the kids and their families. It was wonderful. After that, I was sent to Elmira, where I was the principal of St. Peter and Paul School for 2 years, and I loved that too, but I got thrown out of there for closing the school. Then I taught for 1 year at Corpus Christi School in Rochester, where I was sent next. And then I became the pastoral assistant. It was wonderful, but I got thrown out for preaching and other violations of diocesan policies. Then I joined Spiritus Christi Church and founded Grace of God Recovery House. It was the best, but I got thrown out of the Sisters of St. Joseph for joining Spiritus Christi Church. So I decided just to enjoy the 21 years of recovery ministry at Grace of God until last March, when I got thrown out of there by COVID-19. So here I am today to say, I quit. Seriously, I am so grateful for each and every part of my journey. And I am so aware of all the people along the way that have taught me and mentored me and supported my dreams for a better world. My parents were my first teachers. Their first child, my oldest sister, Mary Ann, was born physically, mentally, and emotionally profoundly disabled. My parents took care of her every need, every day, and taught me that life was precious, no matter what anyone was or was not capable of doing. My mom also taught me to pay special attention to those who were poor and downtrodden. We lived near the railroad tracks, the B&O Railroad, and every year when the circus came to town, Mom would watch for the transient men that followed the circus, hoping to find work. They also stopped at our house looking for food. So she would have my sister Terry and I set a beautiful summer picnic table with flowers that she had us pick from her garden. And then she made these delicious BLT sandwiches with homemade tea, iced tea, and desserts. They always knew to stop at our house because, along with the food, they were treated with love and respect. Some of the things that I experienced in family were also painful for me. Alcoholism reared its ugly head when I was about 11. Back then, there was stigma and misconception about what we know today is a disease or a disorder. So we lived our family secret, doing the best that we could, as so many families have done and still do today. It was from this painful experience that I emerged with my own matters of codependency and hurt. My mentors and my teachers for this hurt, however, were a big surprise. They were the very men who suffered from alcoholism and drug disorders. They were the very people I was trying to help at Dimitri Recovery House. These men taught me about family disease and how it had affected me growing up. I remember one time I was ranting on about something at Dimitri House, and Al, one of our residents, said to me, "Sister, us drunks are driving you crazy. Why don't you just take some time off? You deserve it." What Al was so delicately trying to say to me was, "Sister, your codependency issues are running rampant. Maybe you should go to an Al-Anon meeting." So I was healing right along with the men that God had put in my life. I am so grateful to each and every man that has come to Dimitri Recovery House and Grace of God Recovery House for their understanding and care for me. You have so lovingly supported my healing and filled my heart with joy. And here I would like to give a special shout out to my staff and volunteers at Grace of God. Your commitment to our residents and our program, your generosity of time, resources, prayers, and your compassion, your support of me, and your faithfulness to God and your own programs have enabled God to work many miracles and heal many broken lives. Thank you. And finally, you, Spiritus Christi, you are the best. For 44 years, you have provided a safe, loving place for me to follow my dreams. You have provided resources, time, and prayers galore to care for God's special people. You have taken risks, made decisions of faith, spoken truth to power, led with your heart, and over and over and over again said to those in need, "You are my sister, you are my brother, whom I love." Thank you, Spiritus Christi. I love you. See you on live stream for now, and hopefully soon at church, when we can all come together again, and this time we will throw COVID out. God bless.